are listening to Fly here on CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm your host, Melissa Rodway. Today we have Angel Herrera with us. Angel is the co-founder of Holistic Projects, and typically Angel is in Peru, but today we're speaking to him via Zoom from Slovakia. Correct?
Slovakia? Yes.
Yeah, so welcome to Fly, Angel.
Hello, Melissa. Thank you very much for this opportunity. Yes, right now I am in Slovakia because we've been having this 2020 full of surprises where I ended up being here. So until the right moment comes, when Peru becomes a little more stable, I will have the chance to return there.
Angel looks very zen. No one can see him, but I can see him. We're on Zoom together. And we are going to talk today about travel and healing, specifically ayahuasca retreats is the topic for today. But I have to tell anyone listening that Angel looks so relaxed and so happy. And he has his beads on and he's smiling. He's way more relaxed than I am sitting here in Toronto. So it's actually quite refreshing to look at you, Angel, and a great way for me to start my day. So thank you so much for doing this with me. You have several different websites. You sent me a few different projects that you're working on, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say that the main theme through all the things that you do is wellness, travel and healing, holistic projects, as we talked about. So what is the importance of people to do this, to go travel, to find some healing within that experience?
Well, everything started when I worked for a travel company, which was my dream career, right? So I started working for the first travel company. It was called G Adventure. This is the funny thing. So I started working with them. After for some period, I realized that people were missing something deep. And of course, this probably was coming from me for many years earlier, but I didn't know how to pull out, how to manifest that. And then during this trip, what I was doing, I be in contact again with my father. My father is been working with shamanism and spirit, Andean and Amazonian shamanism in Peru, but I was quite disconnected with him. So I always have this feeling in my heart that people need to experience in order to grow, right? So after all this experience that I have in my life, I decided to create my second project, Travel and Healing, where we support the traveler to encounter their purpose. Because through experience, you can grow. You can find your purpose through experience. And of course, I think the most difficult part for the traveler is sometimes to find the right partner or the right agency or the right agent or the right partner, that's the way I call it, to have a truly experience in life. So it is why I decided to create Travel and Healing. And the first experience was with Etnicas, which is my family open a center where they do different type of practice with native healers from all over Peru, Amazon and the Andes.
Where are you from in Peru, Angel?
I'm originally from Cusco.
Oh, you're from Cusco. Oh, how fun.
Yes.
So Cusco is close to the Sacred Valley, Machu Picchu, all of these places.
Yes, it's the navel. Well, Cusco is, as they're saying, the navel of the world, yes. But Cusco was is the oldest city of South America, and it was the capital of the Inca Empire, you know? So, yes, I am in the middle of the Amazon and between the coast and the Amazon.
You said that your dad is a shaman, or he was interested in that type of healing?
He's my father. Yes.
He's a shaman.
He's still working. Yes. Yes.
Wow.
All my family are working. We are working to bring back the ancient knowledge in order to share and complement in these actual times. So we do it through traveling, through retreats, through workshops. Yes, so that's what we've been doing.
Do Peruvians continue to rely on ancient medicine today? Is it common still in Peru, or is it mainly common in more rural areas of the country?
So in Peru, our medicine is still working based on the natural medicine. Like 80% of the population are still relying on traditional medicine, which are based on plants. But what would happen in the last, 50 years or 100 years, the modernity came into the cities. And of course, the concept that most people from the cities is that the Western medicine, you know, or allopathic medicine, is the one that brings benefits, right? That's people from the city. But right now, it's been, in this actual moment, things have been changing towards valuing the ancient knowledge. So we have in the cities people that, again, are trying to bring back this ancient cosmology into their life, right? Wow. So it is amazing, because I have to tell you, in the last 5 years ago, it was different. Now, Peruvians are really looking to embrace this type of knowledge.
So why do you think it's coming back?
Because it helps. It actually brings you a true benefit. And is a benefit that lasts for the rest of your life. Mm. And the best of it is that you ended saving so much money, so much money as well. Because I'll give you an example, a medicine that you can get for $2, $3 in the local market versus something that you spend $30, not even with the long-term health or benefits, it's a big distance, no? It's a big margin.
So are you now a shaman as well?
This is something that I learned. I learned that all of us are shamans. All of us can manifest this role. And this role only needs to be triggered and manifest through your practice, through your perceptions. And that is very important. All of us have the capacity. It's the time that all of you and I, we have the potential to be one.
How would you describe the role of a shaman? Like how do you define, maybe define's not the right word, but how would you describe to someone what a shaman is, what they do?
I learned this from my father a long time ago, and the simplest way is this. The role of a priest is to bring God to people. And the role of a shaman is to bring nature to people.
Very nice. Yes. I love that.
Yes.
Let's talk about ayahuasca, because this is something that always frightened me, to be honest. But I was doing a little bit of research before you came on the show, and I've had a few other people on the show who have done it. And it does sound more and more intriguing to me. So we're going to talk about these ayahuasca retreats that people can do. But what is the history of ayahuasca in the Peruvian culture?
Firstly, ayahuasca comes, it derivates from the word, it's a Quechua word, which is Spanish language from the Incas and from the Andean people. It means the dead rope. Yeah, that's the meaning, the dead rope. So ayahuasca becomes famous and popular all over the world with this Quechua word. And not many people actually knows where is this from, where this is coming from. So during my personal exploration, research, since 2006 until those days, when I was living with the communities, when I was spending weeks with them, doing my diet, doing my own personal transformation, I learned, for example, from the Shipibos and Machigenga tribe, they talk about the Incas, they talk about this culture from the mountains came to the jungle, to the Amazon, as a masters, as a teachers of different activities. So they remembered them as people who came with an open heart to teach them. So they learned how to crop plants, how to do textiles, weavings. They learned how to fish. They learned systems of administration for their communities. And as a way of exchange, they exchanged medicines too. So when the Incas, and I'm sure not just Incas, but pre-Inca cultures learn about this ayahuasca, they took this medicine in a way to put part of their system. So it was science, a science where you have heart and mind together, right? So for example, the Incas, they really went into for administration. They put ayahuasca as a part of the administration. So what happens? I'll give you an example. If you give an architecture, I teach you, right now we go to a 5 years school university to have a architecture degree, and we learn. So you do something similar to the Inca times, but then this, before you do architecture, you first, you have your ceremonies, right? Your ayahuasca ceremony. And but they teach you to first to understand the spirit of the stone, of the rock, before you start building something. So when you are in contact with the spirit of it, you understand how to make alliance with the force of nature. So your work become very, very solid. It become useful for the society, and it become beautiful for the nature. And so on, so on, so on, and so on. So according to some researches, probably ayahuasca have over 2,800 years in the knowledge of ancient cultures.
Wow. That's a long time.
Yes. And the most important thing is like how they come to join two plants and manifest this amazing power in people, no?
And it gets crushed into a tea, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
That's how you take it, ayahuasca.
Yes, it's a drink that you use two different plants. One mm-hmm. is a bush and the other one is a vine. And this cook with water, with fire. Actually, it has to be wood fire, like, you know. And it takes between 1 to 2 days. And during this cooking, the maestros, no, the people from community, they sing Icaros. Icaros are songs or mantras that are related to love, are related to health, are related to prosperity. It is why in our communities we call medicine. We call medicine all the time. And we take it and we serve it and we drink it and we everything related as medicine.
Wow. How many times have you done ayahuasca?
Wow, over 100 times.
Really? Wow.
Yes. But of course, it was a process. It was a process at the beginning. I never wanted to take it, but it happened to be in the most funny way. But after I had it the first time, I couldn't stop. This is my personal history, if I have some minutes. I was married to a Canadian woman. So 3 months before I drink ayahuasca, I was supposed to go to Canada to live with her, to follow her. So I have missed this ayahuasca ceremony. No, that was in 2006. When I had it, I decided that I will transform my life, and I decided to support my father in his path, and I decided that people need to know about it. It was shocking, everything that I saw about me and how powerful was in order to find a road in my life. It was kind of like Eureka in my life. It was clear what I have to do. So 3 months later, I went to Canada, and when I got there, the power, the desire to do something bigger and more useful for my life, it came when I started seeing the Canadian society, and I saw them in many aspects, they were so, let's say, comfort in many aspects, yes. But I was working at that moment as a bartender, but at the same time, I was seeing a lot of Canadians, a lot of friends coming to me and talking to me, but drinking and drinking, drinking. And there when they realize, make me realize like they were not happy. They had everything. They really have everything, but they were not happy, which I was opposite. I didn't have everything, but I was happy. I mean, what means happy is a big word, but this joy of understand your present, this joy of your present, it was fulfilled. And when I saw this, when I was working as a bartender, I realized that I have to go back to Peru, because people, human beings need to know about it. So after a year, I decided to stay only 1 year, and this I returned to Peru after being in Canada.
Wow. That's a good choice, I think. I think you're right. I find this when I go traveling a lot too. Canada is an amazing place to live. It's very beautiful. We're well looked after here. But I totally agree with you that I feel when I go to other countries, everyone does look way happier with a simpler life, happier with what they have. It's different for North Americans, I think. We're always chasing a dream that is impossible, right? And we don't really look inside to fulfill like what's already there.
Exactly. And this usually happens when we are living in the cities, really, because I see that happening in my country, no? And during all this time and experience since 2006, I've been improving myself, and along the way I've been knowing different masters and teachers that they've been giving me the opportunity to learn about life and see different perspective the life. Why? Because all of us, we've been educated with such a concept that sometimes it becomes rigid to transform. So when you travel deeply, when you really have this authentic journey, it exists something, it catalyzes this unique something that is happening. Your soul starts speaking to you and says, do this and do that and go farther and go farther. That's what happened, you know? That's what happened. So traveling, it definitely always helps. Always help.
And so for you, are you mainly working with ayahuasca retreats, or what else are you doing these days?
So right now, I'm working with different plant medicines and different type of self personal growth technique. So for example, I'm working with Munai meditation. It's a meditation that helps people to be in contact with their heart. Munai means love, unconditional love in Quechua language. In our culture, when we start to learn about healing or about self-transformation, the first thing that they teach you is the initiation of the heart. Nothing runs, nothing moves without the heart. The heart is the nucleus of everything, and later comes the mind, which right now, when I was a kid, first they push me, or like many of us, they push you to learn about the mind, learn, memorize the mind for this, the mind for that, but nothing about the heart. And the type of education that we all of us have, it was more related to empower the mind but not the heart. We live in a life where we divide everything because our mind is confused. Yes, when we don't find results, our mind becomes completely confused. And that is because we haven't been touched with the heart. That is why. So this is the meditation where I start teaching to people so they can bring back the power of their heart. And so meditation, cacao ceremonies, everything related with cacao. I don't know if you hear about it. We provide people a drink, a beverage of cacao, no, that helps to open the heart, actually. It produces a lot of endorphins that it allows you to feel the your heart talking. And we do breath work as well. We teach people to do breath work, which helps you to be in touch more with your body.
And all
to be
of
more
this,
present.
All of this is in Peru that you do this?
I'm doing this in Peru, and I'm doing this around the world. So I've been traveling different parts of the world, teaching these techniques, different continents, from Asia to Europe and North America. Last year, I was in Canada, actually.
Oh, nice. I think I might have seen you. My patio. Anyway. And so are these like a retreat where people can go to different countries around the world? Or are you staying in the same location for that week, or how does it work?
It's a combination of both. We have these constant retreats for ayahuasca, for example, and we do it in Peru, in Cusco. There is we do it this in Secret Valley. The location is in Secret Valley. And this is with Etnicas, is the name of the center, my family center. And they do it two times a week over there, just continuously. And personally, I travel in different countries. Are people in those continents where they organize this for me. So I'm going there to teach these type of meditations or techniques for personal growth. And that's the way usually I've been doing things.
Amazing.
Yes.
And do you feel like this was your path after you had this discovery and decided Canada was not your place? Does it feel like you found your fit?
I know what I have to do and what tools, but the tools will continue growing. The tools will completely always be changing. But one of something that I realize is like, I want to make my life useful. I want to give my life to the happiness of others. Wherever I go, I want to create this atmosphere, co-create, nothing is created, co-create this, place of hope, a place with opportunity, a place where people can find their joy of life, plant a little bit seed of happiness. And yes, so I'm going to be involved always into the world of a holistic path.
That's amazing. Good for you. Again, you look very relaxed. Very happy.
Thank you very much.
Let's go back to ayahuasca, because I am quite interested in this. We're going to focus on that for a little bit. So for anyone who doesn't know, and I mean, I wouldn't know, I haven't done it, but if people are unfamiliar with this process, what is it all about? What do people experience?
So most of the time when we receive in our center, now let's say 50% of people come with a purpose, okay? And this purpose can come from personal issues or personal goals as well, yes? And the other 50% just come for experience. So something funny is that people who come for the experience, they ended being transformed. What happened is this. When you have this type of experience, is like encounter of your higher self, and higher self is telling you, you must take this path, because if you continue in this path, it will make you more unhappy. You've been taking this path, and all these actions that you've been doing is the way you are. So you have this option to take, right? So when that happens in people, I think the best way to transform yourself is when you have your own answers. And that's what happened with the medicine. The medicine helps you to find your authentic, unique answers in life. And that's the best shaman, your heart, yourself, not one else. of course, we create the space, the process, so people can achieve there, can get there. But at the end, is the results of your higher self, and the benefits comes from your higher self.
And I read that in the actual experience, it's like you see a movie of certain parts of your life. Is that accurate?
Is that correct? But the experiences are always different.
Yeah.
Always, always different. The experience will come according of your needs, according of what is missing or what is or too much or too less. It will come according of you, because each of us, each individual is a tiny microcosmos that is becoming part of the cosmos. Yes, we are. We are part already. It's just what happened. Right now, you are part of everything. Everyone is part of everything. Sometimes we just disconnect. Disconnect, but with our mind, because we still connected. It's just we don't see it. Right. So when we have this opportunity, it says, hey, sister, hey, brother, you always been connected. Just do it this way.
Right. It's not always pretty, right? Some of the things you might see can be upsetting. I mean, it's you're learning, right? All about yourself. So it's not always going to be rainbows and butterflies when you take ayahuasca.
Or unicorns, as always says, or pink teddy bears. Yeah,
exactly.
It is important. This is one of a beautiful, it took me years to understand this, that this beautiful medicine, it takes you to the most complicated part of yourself. Not because you're suffering of it, it's because in order to transform, you need to see things that help you to realize what are pulling you to not grow. Like sometimes we get stuck, right? And when we are stuck, the medicine goes there and shows you, look, what is actually making you being stuck? What is it? So when you see it with your own eyes, you don't like it. Because it's you, right? And you don't like it because you don't want to recognize it. So what the medicine does is it takes you to the source of these tendencies of you in order to transform. But it's you. It's based on you, of the way how you've been building yourself. As I was saying at the beginning, we have a type of education that it teaches us to divide everything. So when we try to think about something negative, we don't go deep. We don't go deep. We don't want it to see it. We don't like that. It teaches us that see something dark about us is not correct. It's not right. You put something, a mask, or put a perfume to cover it, or do whatever to cover it, and not go deep about it. When in our cultures, it is important to go and recognize your shadows, your dark, because that's the mother of your transformation. It is really valid. It is important. So when the medicine takes you there, so you can recognize it, embrace it, forgive it, love it again, and bring you back with all these values together. So doesn't exist no more division anymore. Everything is one. Yes.
Interesting. So when you travel, we all have these epiphanies about how our lives will be different when we go home. And certainly doing ayahuasca and going on an ayahuasca retreat sounds to me like that would completely make you see your life differently. Is it common that people do make major life transfer? I mean, obviously you did, but I think that's also a part of your family. It's a part of your culture. Is it common, say, for someone like me to come and do ayahuasca to maybe see my life completely differently? But sometimes when we get home, we go back into our old routines and life goes back to normal. What's your experience with people that have come and done this with you? And when they go home, what happens?
Yes. As you said, if you decide to back to your routines, If you are suffering, well, you decide to go back to the suffering. If you are happy and you decided to become happier, it's different. So yes, but actually that's for everything. Something I will mention, I give you an example of something common that happened to all of us. When we decide to fall in love, it takes us time. It's the same thing. Sometimes we go back when our first love, second love breaks our heart, and we take us a few years, 10 years, sometimes 15 years to really open, because we don't gonna get hurt. So all we are living 15 years with the same routine of believing that no one wants us or no one is valuing these feelings or etc. So we create tons of different ideas to not allow ourselves to love, right? It's the same. That's life. And so if we, after we do experience with the medicine and we go back home and we decide to act with the same perspective, maybe with fear all the time, take our actions with fear, based on desconfianza, distrust, I think it's the word, based on not rely on anybody, of course you're gonna suffer. But let's say you decide to trust, whatever happens, to continue to trust, life will be different. You can still do your things, but with a different perspective. And that is a transformation. Yes. So you go back home and say, you know what? I'm going to talk to this person. I'm interested to go out, and I will trust, and I will open my heart, and whatever happens, I know probably it's going to break my heart, but fuck it. Life is like this.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's like, that is the difference. You will come back with different perspective of right. How to manifest your life. So you know that your heart may be broken 5 times, 6 times, but you continue, trust me, it's going to come, and maybe number 11 is going to be the one, and it's cool.
I read somewhere that ayahuasca can help, or they believe it can help, with things like depression, certain mental health problems, anxiety. What do you think about that?
Or let's remember, depression, anxiety, addictions all comes from a source. So the medicine will show you that source. No, where that happened? Usually addictions comes from the lack of loneliness. Usually comes from loneliness. And this loneliness starts destroying you, you know, with different aspects. And then you use alcohol, you use even applications, let's say. This Tinder thing is a fact of loneliness. A lot of people take advantage of that, and they don't see it. They're not conscious about it. So what the medicine teaches you is to be conscious of what is happening, to find the source. When you find that source, whatever sickness you have, from depression, anxiety, addiction, is easy to cure. Because our concept of medicine is to find always the source. What is the source? What is the insight? What is the cause of it? So even my maestros, my healers, masters, they are capable to cure cancers, because all of sickness, it comes from the source. Right? Is that why you have a constant headache? Why you cannot sleep? Because you have to find the source. And probably constant headache is because you are attached to something for example, I met a friend who have this constant headache, and it's because was not able to, one example, able to sleep properly. And why was not able to sleep properly? He didn't have the chance to be in communicated with their family, for example, in an honest way. Now, it was something keeping this person for years, not able to manifest it till. So when this person find what they need to do, express that, and things come back to normal. Body gets sick only because something is not in balance inside. Yes? So our medicine sees that sickness that are inside the mind, sickness in the spirit. And that is the first... The first symptom is the manifestation on the body. That's the sickness. the main cord of the sickness is spiritual or mental. So that is what the medicine does. No? It goes there and clean.
Mm, I love it. Let's talk about the actual details of an ayahuasca retreat in case anyone is curious or interested in doing this. So there are the odd stories in the news about things going terribly wrong, but in all of the websites that you sent me for Etnicas, it's so well handled. There are medical professionals on staff. So can you walk us through a little bit of that part of it and how people can feel like they're mentally and physically able to participate in something like this?
Yes, in Etnicas, our goal was to become the first integrative medicine with safety protocols, okay? Because along the experience, we realized that there were some things, like for example, some things that help us to give true safetiness. Well, blessing is nothing true, but a safetiness, no, to the experience. So for example, we provide a medical form to our participants, okay? And depending of their medical form and evaluation, we decide if this person is available to participate or not. So what the procedure is, we receive this medical form, we give it to our doctor in charge, and then he provides an evaluation. Depending of the case of the person, we respond to the participant if we'll do it or not. If it's yes, people arrive to Peru and the first thing is that they will have a second test to see what are their symptoms, because sometimes it can be difficult for them to manage the altitude, for example. No, so we see situations like that about altitude sickness, and before, maybe 2 days ago they went to party and they do some hardcore drugs and stuff. So we, of course, days before, weeks prior, we tell people the diet. They need to follow a diet. The diet it needs to be followed is the food they cannot eat, the drugs and pills they cannot take, and alcohol, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. No? So the participant needs to put their part to follow this diet. So when they get to Peru, they have this consultation with the doctor. After, they have a consultation with the psychologist and then with the shamans. So we have all these procedures in order to have a safe environment in different angles. So we, all of us, feel safe to do this type of work with the participant. The type of process that we develop is very gentle and nice for people who are coming from abroad. We design something where pretty much we take people's hand and step by step, we take them into this experience, step by step. So, for example, when people come to do our retreat, they do several activities. They do a ceremony of cleansing. They learn about meditation and yoga. They learn about the plant medicine work, which is ayahuasca. They learn to do about ceremony of gratitude. Yes. And the most important thing, we give them activities of volunteering. So the shortest time is 3 days, and the longest is 5 days. During those, these 3 and 5 days, people learn about themselves, and we give them tools to empower their mind, their heart, and their body. That is what we do. So with this 5 days experience, people renew themselves, they're reborn. It's kind of like a rebirth in their life to do their best again, to be in joy and completely happiness.
In the 5 day retreat, how many times would they do ayahuasca?
3 times. And in the 3 days, 2 times.
There can be some unpleasant side effects, right? Like vomiting, diarrhea, all that fun stuff. How do you deal with that when you're tripping out?
And I forget to mention, we have another run of 8 days, another run of 10 days. But the one of 10 days is only without plans, only meditation, Peruvian Inca meditation during the 10 days. These 10 days is without ayahuasca in this case, but we give them the class of the meditation, permaculture, and volunteering, volunteerism. Mm. Because volunteerism is the key, is a really good way to grow. So to your questions, yes. In the medicine exists an important process, which is the cleansing. We call the cleansing. Part of it is the side effects. One of them is the vision, where you have this connection to see things, but what are you going to make a difference? Vision is different than hallucination. Many people who are just starting listening about ayahuasca, oh, they say, oh, it's a drug, it's a hallucinogenic drug. As I said before, for us, it's a plant. The difference between hallucination and vision is this. Hallucination is something that you see and doesn't make sense. Vision is something that you see and teach you. And this is what we get, visions. That's the first effect. You have visions, the visions about what you need to do in your life or future path, etc. No, according to your personal situation. And then you have the vomiting. Yes, the purging. We call it. But the purging is important because is when people get stressed, sick, mental disbalance, what happens is the body who suffer. The first part of ourselves is the body who suffer. And this, the body imprints all these heavy emotions, all these negative emotions, and it stays in the body if you don't know how to release them. So, when the medicine, you drink the medicine, what happens is the medicine goes everywhere to clean. So the vomiting is the vomiting of these heavy energies that you collect in the last 30, 20 years if you've never done this. So the medicine goes and travels around yourself, your mind, your emotions, and put together all these things, no traumas, blocks, etc. And it says it's time to release them. So you release them. So this purging, it's a holy purging. It's not like the Scottish or whiskey purging or rum beer purging. It's completely different.
Oh, thank God.
Yes, it's a purging where it helps you to clean your energy. It helps you to clean your body, your mind. So it's a cleanser purging. And then, of course, in some cases, when your body has been intoxicated, yes, with all these energies, food, and etc. you put in yourself, sometimes you go to toilet and do diarrhea. But the diarrhea is a part of the cleansing too. It's really, really good. So people, especially people who have issues with their colon, no issues with their digestion and stuff, they go and they stay there for a long time, but clean you. You know, this is priceless, really, to have a healthy body again is priceless. Yes, it is. So those are we can say the nasty part of the medicine, but it's all based on your benefit, on your benefit.
And going back to altitude, can some people not take ayahuasca if they're affected by altitude quite badly?
And if you're that, no, we give them some few days to
acclimatize.
So usually we suggest them to acclimatize, to come 2 days before or day before they do it, and that's to acclimatize.
What if you want to do the Machu Picchu trek? Should you do it before or after ayahuasca?
After. The way how we do it in Travel and Healing is like we design programs where firstly you start with the retreats, because in order to enjoy everything and understand this beautiful culture, because all this culture was all the time together with nature and all these beautiful buildings like Machu Picchu, Sacsayhuaman, mountains, all the Amazon, everything that we have is just so beautiful and well connected with nature. it's good to have your retreat so you are tuned. You are tuned to receive the rest.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So we example, we create a journey, the travel and healing. There is, we create one of 30 days because we believe that in 30 days people can really manifest big transformation. Yes. And these 30 days start with your retreat. No, 1 week retreat, 1 week hiking, because after the spirit, it comes the mind and the body, and 1 week discovering, experiencing from culinary classes to horseback riding, to Peruvian paso, and volunteering. So we combine all this experience in 1 month, no? For people who are looking to transform. And this 1 month, most of them is for couples, individuals, that they want to look a new perspective of their life. And those 30 days, it brings a strong transformation in people. So when you go back home, you know what you need to do in your life and how you need to start. So pretty much our journeys, our trips are based on a therapeutic, spiritual growth experience, no? And so, and then of course we made it shorter, 12 days and 7 days, but most of them and all the time we started always with the spiritual rituals, the spiritual ceremonies.
Mm.
And recently for 2021, we are going to open these type of journeys in Nepal and India as well.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Yes.
So you raised an interesting point there. You mentioned couples can do these retreats. And I was wondering about that earlier. Should people do ayahuasca with friends, family, or is it more important to do it on your own, or does it matter?
It's both. Because if you know and you feel that you need to find answers yourself, do it yourself. But at the same time, we've been having experienced couples or families together. They come to do their journey. It's nothing more beautiful to do it with your partner or to do it with your father and mother, or as a family healing all together. It's nothing more beautiful and priceless than that.
Mm.
Really. It's amazing. It's amazing what can bring into the families. We've been doing this for families as well, where they come with their children.
Really?
Of course, older, yes. With their children, wife and husband all together, and, you know, to cure things from the last 15 years, 20 years of marriages, to regenerate all this love, all this trust again. It's beautiful to see that. Yes, mm. We've been doing this type of
thing. What's the youngest age that you, or what's the minimum age requirement to do this?
For the medicine is 18.
Yeah.
For the medicine is 18, but in some cases the UN with the children's 13, 15, we don't provide the medicine, but they are allowed to stay and to do the rest of the activities with their parents. Yes, which is great, because one of the aspects is to teach children, to teach to your kids, transparency, honesty. There are many, many parents that I know sometimes, or children, they're afraid to tell their parents, oh, I'm going to do this because of their fear. No, or tell them to their children, or tell them to the parents. It's like, it's all kind of like difficult for them. But most of them, I always, after 2-3 months experience, they end telling to them what happened and what was the reason, and they return with their parents.
That's amazing.
Yes.
We are running out of time, Angel, which is sad because I could talk to you forever, I feel like. But can you give us a quick idea of the types of volunteer work that people would be doing on a retreat?
Yes. Yes. The type of work that we'll be doing will be the first one. We are working with a dog shelter. We create a dog shelter called humanactions.org. We right now we have over 40 to 50 dogs. And so people will go there and will volunteering, cleaning, walking, bathe the dogs, no? And we have that. We go to the elder house where they go and visit the elder people, and we do things for them. We create some activities and workshops for them. And then the other one is we go to the school communities and we go to do workshop for the school communities. And we do empowerment to these children about the spiritual knowledge and health as well, like natural health. Mm-hmm. So we have the social, and recently we start now with the permaculture, where we take the people to learn about permaculture, about the benefits of good food and how to prepare or cultivate your own food in the most healthy way. So those are the volunteering programs that we involve in the retreats.
Amazing.
And traveling healing trips too. Yeah.
Oh, it sounds incredible. I'm coming. I'm going to do this. Once COVID's over itself, you'll see me.
Fantastic, fantastic, fantastic.
And I guess COVID is impacting things for you at the moment, but hopefully it will go back to normal.
Yes, it is impacting for us. It is true. Will be great. I would like to announce this. Will be great if you, any guys, would like to support to the, our dog shelter, because we still are supporting there. We'll be really happy to accept any donations. It's humanactions.org. You can go there, and will be great if you have any donation there. We're still working on it. So, yes, you know, life is life, and but we have a lot of hope as well.
It's possible too that an experience like this will speak to people more after going through what people have gone through this year. I think people are going to be looking for different types of travel experiences and personal experiences. So this could certainly be quite relevant in 2021, that's for sure.
Yes, after this experience, I perceive that a lot of people realize what its value in their life. Mm-hmm. Because having a fancy shoes and you cannot go out and show to somebody is pointless. So I think it's 2021 is the time of a human transformation. Really, everybody wants something to grow. That is more important, to live happy, right?
Totally agree, yeah.
And I'm so happy to be pioneer in this. We always knew that these type of things, this type of experience, this type of volunteering can transform people. So
awesome. I'm so happy you're able to join us today. So we are now going to do our on the fly segment. So I'm asking all of my guests these 8 questions about travel, your habits, bucket list items, and more. Okay, Angel, number 1, what and where was your first trip that gave you the travel bug?
That was Ecuador.
Oh, nice.
Yes. That was Ecuador when I did my first plant medicine, but it was different. It's called San Pedro, and opened to me everything else. That was when I was 20 years old.
Oh, so nice.
Ecuador, beautiful.
It is beautiful. Number 2, what country do you think has the best food? I think your country has pretty good food, actually.
I have to be honest with you. Yes, Peru has beautiful. And so then second is when I was doing other work in Taiwan. Oh, Taiwan.
Okay.
Taiwan and Peru, best two.
Number 3, what essential item do you bring with you on every trip?
What essential item? I am kind of like an old school traveler, so I always bring cash. Makes things
Me
easier.
Too. Yep.
Yes.
Cash is king. Number 4, what is your best travel tip to pass on to others?
I believe my experience as volunteer, because I like to be volunteer in every country I go.
That's a good one.
At least one day.
Yep, that's a good one. And everyone has a day to spend doing something like that. That's a good point. Okay, number 5, is there a certain item or souvenir that you look for on each trip from a country, and what would that be?
Yes, that are scarves.
Me too.
And necklaces. Yes. Scarf and necklaces. Those two. I really like them.
Oh, that's so funny. Oh, yes. We are connected. Okay, number 6, what is at the top of your bucket list? So this could be an adventure, a destination, an experience, anything you want.
Yes, Iceland. Iceland is a place to go, because I completed already all my places. When I was a kid, I made 5 places: Colombia, Switzerland, Thailand, Iceland, and where is the other one? And India. So I've been on all of them, but not Iceland yet.
Oh, that's good. You'll get there. I can feel it's coming soon. Okay, number seven, where were you last and where were you supposed to be going next? So this is like COVID sort of question, because a lot of people had their trips canceled, but where were you last on a trip? Or maybe you're still on it.
Yeah. Yes. I think right now, as soon as it opens, I go to the beach. I think it will be Greece somewhere, but beach.
Right
somewhere
on.
I can see the ocean. Yes.
And what took you to Slovakia? Why are you there?
Well, I was doing let's say a tour, like my work on Europe. So I've been in Germany, Switzerland. And then I ended to visit Slovakia because I met somebody a year ago, which was a good moment to visit this person. And this COVID thing happened, so I ended up being locked down here. But I'm completely happy because everything started transforming. With this person now, we began to create a relationship right now. And I started discovering a little more about East Europe as well. So I started to learn more about it because I was not familiar at all with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so here I am, still here, and I'm going to continue traveling in Europe to do my work.
Nice. Quite different from Peru, isn't it?
Completely.
Yeah.
Everybody's blonde and blue eyes in here.
Paradise.
Yeah. Yeah, and big people, because Peruvians, we are small. So
yeah.
We're tall, tall people.
It's yeah.
So cute. It's nice. It's beautiful. It's really gentle people.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Okay, here's the big one. Number eight, fly, discover, experience, repeat. So this is the Fly Travel Radio mantra. So if you could add a word after discover an experience to reflect how you feel about travel and adventure, what would you say?
I will say volunteer. Volunteer. I start adding the last 5 years traveling around the world. I will always do the volunteer, and this is something that I learned most.
Right.
I learned most. Yes. Volunteer. Volunteer anywhere you can, as much as you can. Even if you don't travel, volunteer. Do something, trust me, and do it unconditionally, because this is a way to really grow. It will be beneficial for your body, for your mind, and for the society.
Mm-hmm.
So nothing more than just give. Volunteering is a synonym of giving your time, giving your energy, because you already have everything. We already have in abundance, and people want more abundance. It's funny, but we already have everything, so much oxygen to breathe. How are you going to pay back this? Volunteering.
Great message, Angel. Where is the best place for people to get information? What
okay,
website?
For the, it's www.sonko.org. SONQO.org.
Okay. And yeah, also...
Travelandhealing.com.
Travelandhealing.com. Awesome. Okay, I will post those for you. So we have been speaking with Angel Herrera, co-founder of Holistic Projects, and... it's been a pleasure having you today. Thank you so much. Such interesting information and really important, I think. There's so many different ways to travel, and I think this is a really interesting spin on the experiences that we can have around the world.
Yes, yes, indeed. When we talk about the core spiritualism, it's the base of everything. It's older than any religion and older than any dogma or concept. It's, you know, be yourself.
Yeah, amazing. Yes. Thank you, Angel.
Thank you very much, Melissa. And I'm happy, happy, happy to share this with you.
Fly.